Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. Marley Hornick joining us from the Hudson Valley, CEO of United? I just said I couldn't possibly forget it because you got it in great big letters behind you, United Sovereign Americans. How's that, Marley?
That's the one, United Sovereign Americans, yes.
I'm just kind of a mess today. Could you take over and run this and I'll just be here and push the buttons? Would that be okay?
Sure, no problem. I'll just start off. Let's see. I got into the election integrity issue in August of 2021 when I launched the organization or founded the organization New York Citizens Audit. So we were a group.
That's all good stuff, but I want to talk about milk and goats.
Okay.
You don't milk
them anymore. You got rid of your goats now. I'm too busy. No, we have goats still.
Oh.
I don't see them. All I do is work.
I just wanted to paint this picture before we get to election integrity. Are you self-sufficient in food, or you're working on being self-sufficient in food, and you understand that you kind of need to know where your food's coming from?
We were working towards being self-sufficient in food until August of 2021 when I switched gears. But yes, we strongly believe in my family. We believe that if the first thing you do in the morning when you wake up is eat something, then you should at least have a concept of how to obtain that other than through the grocery store. So we homeschool our children and we have taught them to take care of dairy animals, to do the milking, to care for animals during pregnancy, to care for kids. We obviously use the abundance from the animals to create very fertile gardens and grow delicious and nutritionally dense food here for our own family. We are certainly not food independent, but we do enjoy the effort that we put into our gardens, and we certainly enjoy the abundance. There's no comparison for the health.
Did you grow up in farming, or did you choose it?
I did not grow up in farming. Actually, my granddaddy was in the North Carolina Piedmont. He and his 9 brothers their parents raised every single scrap of food they ate. And I think he was so relieved to move to Hartford, Connecticut and become a nurse and serve in other ways. And neither one of my parents inherited any of the interest or the tradition. So we're just restarting it. But my husband, he's a very practical person as well. And so that's been a big foundation of our homeschool approach is you have to know a lot of things. It's good to be very well educated. It's good to be very wise and to be discerning in your intellect, but it's also important to know how to do practical things. How do you split wood? How do you keep the fire going? How do you put food on your table? How do you fix your car? How do you fix your house? You can't do anything without those. And I think your audience is well aware of the significance at this time in particular of being able to be self-sufficient, at least to varying degrees, to know how to do things.
I think it's incredible that you came into this on your own. I happen to be sixth generation man from the land, so it's like I didn't have a choice. It chose me. When you choose to do that, and I want to share one other thing. I just wrote my column last week about something that I think you're going to fully relate to, and that is, you know, there are a lot of hardworking Americans in this country. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of bums that need to get a job, no doubt. But the hardworking Americans, when you have a parent, male, female, mother, father, whatever the case may be, because I do happen to believe there's only two things, male and female. But when you get in your vehicle and you go to work every day, your kid doesn't witness or can't be a part of how hard you work in your employment. When you go out and milk a goat, when you go out and pull a radish or you're splitting that firewood and you're doing it alongside your parents, the kids who grow up in this environment just have a distinct advantage because not only are they watching their parents work hard, they're participating in it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I feel sad that it's such a unusual circumstance now for families to stay together throughout the day. I do believe that that's what our Creator intended for us. Why would we be together if we weren't supposed to actually be together? Why ship the kids off to someone else? It's so special to have family. It's just such a blessing and a gift to be a family. And, you know, there's certainly challenges with that. You know, farmers are not immune to challenges, and homeschoolers for certain are not, but it's so special to have those years together. I don't know. I'm so grateful for that.
I figured we'd be on the same page. But life took a drastic turn for you, I'm going to guess, in August of 2021, because you've already told me twice. What happened first?
Well, as a self-sufficient person and a critical thinker and a earth-oriented lady, let's say, I've always had my ideas about how the system was operating. But after the 2011, I was very suspicious of the results and the outcomes. And I was invited to start a New York chapter of an existing operation. It was a national organization. I started there, and then I took my team, and we became New York Citizens Audit. And basically, you got a whole group of really intelligent, analytical people home because we're not essential anymore. And we didn't want to be part of a medical experiment. So we did what any sane person would do in that circumstance. And we requested a copy of the New York State voter roll database and started auditing it. Now, almost immediately, there was a big argument, a big dust up, because the analysts were fighting over the number of votes that were counted in the 2020 general elections. Now, this is October of 2021. We're downloading data from the State Board of Elections website. We're comparing notes. And, you know, one person says, hey, this is the total number of votes. And someone else says, no, that's not the total. You're looking at the wrong cell, you know, in Excel, the spreadsheet, you got the wrong number. Well, we came to find out that 10 months after the 2020 general election was certified as accurate and legally compliant, they were still editing the vote. And that was why our analysts couldn't agree on the number of votes counted. So that really got our attention. And then we started querying the voter roll list, the voter registration list. We call it the voter roll, but really what that means is the list of people who have the qualifications necessary in theory to get a ballot and have their ballot cast and counted. Now, we discovered in studying this database that the state had actually certified, this is New York now, had certified the election with 338,000 more votes counted than voters who had voted. So 338,000 ballots entered the system, and no one has any idea how they got in there, and they don't track back to any registrant. So again, I mean, we just kept going, and we kept finding more and more of these issues. We called them anomalies for a long time, until I picked up the law books and I started really cracking away. And we had a bunch of people who had already been examining elements of New York state law, but this needed to be examined at a high level, you know, because the issue is, if you look at some of the laws that are in existence right now, now these are federal laws, they look like election law, but in reality, they're civil rights law. This is a very important point, because it's the third sentence of the Constitution, right? The first sentence is "We the People," the preamble. The second sentence is Article 1, Section 1 says all legislative power is vested in the Congress. The third sentence of Article 1, okay, it says, I always picture, like, imagine you have your blank parchment paper and your candle and your quill, right? What's the most important thing you have to put on that parchment? Because it's not like you're just typing in and you can delete and edit.
Right.
The third sentence, the people of the several states shall choose their representatives. Okay, so now we're back over, right? We're talking about the federal laws that exist now, not to protect elections per se, but to protect that right to choose our representatives, because the Constitution shows us you're not the ones choosing your representatives. This ain't America anymore. It's not your country if you're not being governed by consent.
And we will pick it up, Marley, with governing by consent when we come back with more Red Shirt Friday Roll Route. I like to bring veterans on Friday, but I want to tell you what, Marley Hornick, you're as much of a freedom fighter as anybody, and that's no disrespect to anybody who's worn the uniform. It takes a village. It takes a group of dutiful citizens. Greg Hager would encourage you to stop by his store, greghager.com. The songs that Greg Hangs sings not only earned him the Country Music Entertainer of the Year, it's about life, and his songs of Western and country and Christian roots will keep this nation in boots. GregHager.com. Back with more Marley Hornick after this. Welcome back, Trent on the Loose, Marley Hornick. It's a good thing you're very resistant or resolved and resistant to, not resistant, but resilient and complaining with me and my scattered state today. We need to get back to where we picked it up. The Constitution says that we, the people, select our representatives. They're not selected for us, is the moral of the story. Pick it up from there, Marley.
Well, there's a couple of elements that have to do with that. So let's go to what really constitutes an election. Election is a very simple system. If you looked on social media right now and you tried to understand what an election is, you would get a headache and you would never be able to find your way back to your house again. Mm-hmm. But it's actually very simple. Elections contain three elements: voters, votes, and counts. So getting back to the voter list, the list of people who have been proven and demonstrated, and there is an auditable record for every single one of them to be a qualified citizen voter of the United States of America. And why is that so important? I mean, it seems obvious on its face, right? But let's get into it. Why is that important? The people who are citizens of a country are the stakeholders. This is our country. We're the owner stakeholders. So we have skin in the game. We get to decide what happens. And everybody else, you know, they come, they're our guests. We give them nice, you know, nice opportunities. We share our abundance with them because we're good-hearted people, but they don't have skin in the game. This is our country. So that's why this eligibility and citizenship requirement is immutable. It cannot be corrupted and still have an accurate outcome that says this is who the American people believe in and trust to represent their interests in Congress or in the Senate or in the White House or anywhere else, in state legislative authorities as well, right? So the voter list itself, because remember, here we are in New York and we're looking at this voter registration list, is so corrupted and so full of inaccurate and frankly invalid data that New York Citizens Audit ended up sending an official report of election misconduct to the Division of Election Law Enforcement in New York State, asking for a line-by-line explanation of over 5.1 million registration violations within the database and 745,000 voting violations in the 2022 election. So three quarters of a million times, people whose registration information is either ineligible, illegal, or invalid cast votes. And we would like to know why. We would like to know how that happened. We would like to know from the outset, we'd like to know, how did those registration records get added to the databases? Mm-hmm. Going back to that law, I was going to talk about Congress. You know, they passed this law about these databases and they say, oh, you know, you have to be really nice to everybody. When, you know, if someone's in the database, you have to be really, really certain before you take them out. You know, you have to take 8 years. It takes 8 years to take a name off the voter registration lists. But if they're not a valid registration, and I'll give you a couple examples, Trent. Okay. An invalid registrant is someone who was registered to vote before they were born.
Yeah, that doesn't seem possible.
That's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm.
It is.
For your
that's
civic.
That's a dutiful citizen, right? That's a dutiful embryo right there.
But they just don't have the wisdom yet to really participate is the issue. You know, they're cute. They're super cute. But
wait a minute. You think embryos are cute?
Yeah, sure. Everything's cute, you know, with the right perspective.
But, oh, I love that.
But okay, an invalid registrant is someone who has a one birthday in the 2021 database and a different birthday in the 2022 database. How did they change their birth date, right? Like you were talking about, there's only two genders, right? They're right. Not even genders, they're sexes, actually. That's the original terminology. We've gotten wrapped into this gender thing. It's a sex. You're
That's
either a male
story.
Or a female.
I agree. I yield to Marley on that point.
But how do you change your birth date? How do you vote before you're registered to vote? How do you have no mailing address and yet somehow the Board of Elections has this, they have like magic, you know, they talk about the mythology and magic as like, oh, it's, you know, it's this entertainment. They have magic powers, right? If you have no address in your registration record, they know which voting district to give you a ballot for. They just know, you know, don't worry about it. Just, they've got it. We have a million people registered to vote in New York on January 1st. Don't worry. They've got it. They know that all those registrations are valid because they say so. Right?
Meanwhile,
take their word for it. Isn't
yeah.
that what the Constitution says? The Constitution
says, no, it
says,
does not.
Take the government's word for it.
No, it doesn't say that anywhere in there.
It doesn't, right?
It says we need to be dutiful citizens and make sure that they do what we're supposed to do as a representative republic. That's what it says.
Yes, and it's not mean to be certain. It's not mean to hold people accountable and responsible for a poor effort, frankly. And that's what's taking place. And what's happened basically, and we're demonstrating now, because now we took this out of New York. I met Harry Howery at the Pit, which was an event that True the Vote held in Arizona in August of 2022. I was there to present actually a very sophisticated attack mechanism on the New York State voter roll database that we had uncovered. It is very distressing, frankly. Not distressing enough to warrant an investigation, apparently, but very concerning to the American people. And I was there. So Harry was there because he was one of the authors of the Help America Vote Act, which was the law Congress passed in 2002 to take our manual voting systems and turn them into electronic voting systems. He
right.
worked on that because he's an expert in system architecture and security, cybersecurity and system security. And so that's how he got involved with the process.
Thanks
so,
to a hanging chad.
Yeah, well, I'll go into that in a minute if you want to talk about the hanging chads, but
well,
there's
it was just
something
a precursor to move everything to an electronic vote so they could be manipulated and algorithms altered.
Well, that's a possibility, but there is something interesting about those hanging chads, but I don't want to leave people hanging with my last thought, which is just to let people know that what we ended up discovering through the process of auditing these in New York, and now we, since meeting Harry that day, that fateful day at the Pit, we decided we needed to do this in every state where we possibly could. Because if we, for example, bring these arguments, these particular arguments to court in New York and lose, then all of that effort is wasted. And you know how frustrating it is when you work really hard at something and then it amounts to nothing. That's unacceptable to practical people, right? That's
yeah, absolutely.
That's a waste of abundance. You've just taken something that you worked hard towards and then you've wasted it. So we needed to do this in every state.
You appear to have too much information about how I waste my time. Are you spying on me on a daily basis, Marley, or how do you acquire this information?
Are you unproductive? I don't think so. I don't believe that for a minute.
Oh, I have my days.
Oh, well, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
But
schematically, just so you know, in a minute and a half, I'm going to shut you down for today.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So let me cut to the chase here. What we're proving in state after state after state since founding United Sovereign Americans and bringing on volunteer analysts in 22 states is that the voting system is completely broken, and it's easy to show. In New York, the registration error rate at the time the 2022 midterm was certified, 14%. The voting error rate at the time of certification, 12%. The legal standard of accuracy that is required for all federal elections under the Help America Vote Act, a maximum error rate of 0.0008%.
Wow.
And there is a federal election in New York in a midterm with a 0.6% margin of victory. If you have a 12% error,
and less than a half a percent deviation, you have a problem.
No one knows who won. No one has any idea. And the Board of Elections, when they certified that race and all of the 2022 races, was committing perjury.
You're doing a wonderful job leaving my little space, Marley Hornick. We will take a break as we're now halfway through our discussion about what's really going on with governing by consent of the people. Marley Hornick, more in the second half. I want to say thank you to High Plains Apache and Simpson Farm Enterprises, continuing to make available to the farmer innovation, reliability, and service second to none. The Apache sprayers get it done, but when something goes awry, you got somebody to call. SimpsonFarm.com. Full details, SimpsonFarm.com. Where we're setting the standard in service. Have a great weekend from Simpson Farm Enterprises. Welcome back. Roll Route on a Red Shirt Friday, coming to us from the Hudson Valley. The Hudson Valley is beautiful in New York. There's so much of New York, upstate New York, that just absolutely people don't realize how beautiful it is. And did you get a lot done in the garden? Did you get the garden planted? It's time to plant the garden.
Right now, my focus is on saving the United States of America, and the garden has to wait, unfortunately.
Do you remember that person at the beginning of our conversation who was telling me that if you don't have food, you can't do anything? You better make sure you have a supply of food, Marley.
Yes, thank you. We do keep a supply up.
That's what you need, is me telling you how to prioritize your day. No, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. United Sovereign Americans continuing to seek the truth. I got to tell you, I've spent a lot of time on property rights. I've spent a lot of time on every other issue, animal rights and fighting the animal rights groups, which, by the way, the same money all comes from the same pots. And the oligarchs of the world trying to control not only our elections, but our access to food and giving animals emotions. But the truth of the matter is that I am 100% convicted that if we do not fix this election, none of the rest of it matters. And I'll just quote, you know, the great philosopher, his name was Joseph Stalin, who said, "I don't care who votes. All I care is who counts the votes." And that really is, at the end of the day, what we're talking about.
Yes, and United Sovereign Americans has been working for years now, or myself and Harry working together for years, to understand the mechanism by which we fix that before the 2024 election. And a lot of people are very disheartened. They feel that litigation doesn't work, because we watched challenge after challenge to the election outcome in 2020 fail and be denied standing. The reality is, it's very difficult to challenge the outcome of any election once it's been administered. It's a very, very high bar of evidence in court. And it's frustrating as it is, it actually makes sense, because the people of the several states are supposed to choose the representatives. And putting a judge in that position over and above the American people is improper. It's unconstitutional. So there has to be very, very compelling evidence that the election was improperly administered. Now there was in 2020, but what happened in 2000?
Marley, I'm sorry to interrupt
you. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. There is nothing that has been said about the challenges in lawsuits that's more profound than what you just said. And you made me even think about it in a way that I had not thought about it previously, because if it was easy to overturn through the judicial system, the people with the largest checkbook hiring the most attorneys would just have their will of the way instead of the will of the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to prove to a judge that an election was so broken that it should not be certified.
That's awesome. Okay, now
However, what I want to say about it is there's another aspect of that, which is that elections, the way that elections are designed to operate, is supposed to prevent them from ever ending up in court. So let's just take that back. An election is a zero trust system by definition.
Mm-hmm.
You have two natural adversaries, and they have no reason to trust each other, and they have plenty of reason not to trust each other, right? So how is it that we ever accept an election outcome? Every step of the process of administering voter registration, accepting ballots, counting ballots, storage of ballots, and the final certified results, every step of that process is an administrative procedure that is defined by law. So what happens is the election officials walk this tightrope between the adversaries. And the tightrope is the laws. If they step off that tightrope for any reason, there's only one reason that they did it, ultimately, because they've destroyed continuity of governance. They've destroyed trust in the electoral process. They've destroyed trust in our democratic system. When they do that, when they step off the tightrope, that's the consequence. You can't get around it. That's why from 1888, the Supreme Court ruled election officials who don't follow the law, that's criminal intent. That's what that means. If they don't follow the law, that constitutes election fraud on its face. You don't have to prove that they did it for some bad reason or that they intended to affect the outcome of this race or the other race. Maybe they only intended to affect one race, but they've now affected all of them. And the system is broken. So in Bush v. Gore in 2000, that did not start as a challenge to the outcome of the election. It was a challenge to the election procedure, the administrative process of counting the hanging chads was called out that they were not doing this properly. The judge agreed they had to go back and count all those ballots again. And lo and behold, they had to overturn the election. But it didn't start out as a challenge to the outcome. What they challenged was the way the election administrators were operating. It looked suspicious. It didn't follow the law.
But I agree with you 100%. Not that I would argue, but it just seemed to me like that was a challenge to how it was done so that we would move into HAVA and have complete control in every county with the voting machine. And throw billions of dollars of my tax, your and my taxpayer dollar at doing it.
Well, that's possible. And I unfortunately do not have a time machine or a clock to set us back on a different path. And all I can say is that right now there are elements of HAVA that are helpful for a litigation strategy that challenges election misconduct based on these broken voting systems. Okay, here's another example. In Ohio's 2022 midterm, Ohio, a deep red state, they had an 18% voting error rate. Remember, the federal accuracy requirement is no more than 0.0008% error in that election. Otherwise, you can't be certain that it wasn't affected by fraud.
Marley, there is nothing in our life today where you can be wrong 18% of the time and be acceptable. You can't be wrong 1.8% of the time in an election and be acceptable.
Yeah, if you have an 18% error rate on your IRS filing, you know, is that acceptable or is that perjury?
It'll be jail
Pretty
time for
compelling.
me. These numbers are just mind-boggling.
They have no idea in Ohio, again, just like New York, in Ohio, in Illinois, in California, in all of the states where we're running these audits. It's prima facie. They have no idea who actually won these elections. And they certified them as accurate, meaning that they accurately reflect the intent of the voters individually and collectively. That's what accurate means in an election. It doesn't mean, you know, that A plus B equals C. It means we have accurately and correctly measured the intent of eligible citizen voters who chose to participate in this election. That's a lie.
Yeah.
And that's where United Sovereign Americans is building this litigation strategy to challenge all of these states. And what we hope to do by challenging in federal court, what we seek to do and what we believe will happen is that the matter will end up getting a diversity of opinion across federal circuits. That some states, you know, we know New York, California. I mean, I strongly suspect, let's say, I don't know, but I strongly suspect it's going to be hard to get a correct ruling in those states. But Tennessee, Missouri, Texas, and other states, there's a much higher probability of getting a yes. And what happens when you have disagreement on the same matter between federal circuits is it's immediately forced to the United States Supreme Court, which is where this issue belongs, because it is only really the Supreme Court that can rule on a matter regarding suffrage at this level. You know, the question is not, are the voting systems good enough? Question is, how come the control point before registration for validating an applicant's eligibility requirements and citizenship requirements, how come that control point has been destroyed? It's not operational. That is a civil rights abridgment of Article 1, Section 2. This belongs in the Supreme Court.
I sense that you have more faith in the judicial branch than I do in 2024.
I sense that this argument is so simple and so clear, and it strikes right at the heart of our fundamental system of governance. Again, if you don't have government by consent, provably, you don't have America. Marbury v. Madison, 1803, a right without a remedy is not a right. So it doesn't matter if we have the right to vote. We also need the right to verify and validate that that vote was accurate in terms of reflecting our certainty, our decision-making power about our representatives. And if that right is being denied or abridged in any way, it is an instant constitutional matter. It is an instant crisis. And even their own laws, the progressive laws, outline this. The Voting Rights Act of 1965, which is a good law, and it was designed to make sure that people of all races, you know, in a time of extreme racial contention, people of all races had their vote protected. It also says, if you believe your right to vote has been or is about to be denied or abridged in any way, you have to stop that from happening. You can't let it get certified. You have to file a temporary restraining order or a permanent restraining order, an injunction against the use of or against the denial of your vote. And in this case, we're saying the use of the voting system, because we measured it. This is something that United Sovereign Americans were the only people who have done this. We measured the effect of a voting system based on honor. And it's a train wreck.
Unfortunately, in today's world, Marley, train wrecks are easy to come by. We have one segment left on this Red Shirt Friday. We'll finish it up in a moment. I want to remind you that healthy living is all up to you. You have a lifestyle choice. My lifestyle includes a nitric oxide supplement every single morning, and it has for 18 and a half years. If you want to live healthy, I'm talking about cardiovascular, I'm talking about building the immune system, I'm talking about why one dude, you know who, this one has never gotten COVID or whatever else it is.
NO2U.com. Dr. Nathan Bryan has all of his scientific details. He wrote the book about nitric oxide, the functional nitric oxide, on the web. NO2U.com. NO, number two, letter U.com. Trent, your coupon code. Welcome back. Roll route into the final segment. I'm Trent Luce with
Marley Hornick joining us here into our final segment as we try to find these solutions. Let's just say, what if, Marley, that the Supreme Court, if it makes it to the Supreme Court, rules in favor of you, United Sovereign Americans, what would happen? What would happen next?
Well, the first thing that they would be likely to do is to demand, just as the United States citizens are demanding, we have an accurate and valid election process, which means a couple of things. It means that there has to be controls in place about who is given the opportunity to vote. They have to be provably eligible, and they have to be provably U.S. citizens. And there are standards in place to measure both of those already. They're just not being used. They're not being used in the most important democratic function in our country. They're being used, you know, when did you get to take a photocopy of an electric bill, fly, you know, back into the United States of America? Let's say even you get on a plane and they let you leave. When are they going to let you back in the country with a photocopy of your electric bill? They're not. You know, it's just, it's inane. So that's the first control point that we need to put our line in the sand and say, these are the people who are owner stakeholders of this country. These are the people who get ballots, period. And you have to be able to prove it. That's the first point. Now, if you truly are a U.S. citizen and you can't prove it, we can find solutions for those 10,000 people. But we're not going to abridge the right to vote of 330 million people, or abridge the right to be governed by consent of the entire country based on a couple edge cases. It doesn't make any sense anymore. We're done. The next stage is the ballots, right? How can ballots be received and counted? There has to be, no matter what system they want to use, there has to be a provable chain of custody from the voter's hand to the tabulated count, whatever the tabulation system is, whether it's a machine or hand counted. There's different ways that this can be done, but it has to be provable. That's the thing. You can prove to a degree mail-in, you know, chain of custody, but it presents a lot of openings for fraud. So it's not advisable for sure. There has to be documentation from the voter's hand, that eligible citizen voter's hand, to the count, and then to the locked storage, right, for ballot storage and the final storage system of everything, so that if there is ever a question, we can access that information. You know, right now they don't want to give you access. They want to cut away your access. No, you can't see the ballots because why? Because you might find out that we screwed up.
Right.
Okay. So those are two control points. And I believe that it's clear as day in the law that these have to be upheld. And I believe the Supreme Court would rule that the states have to uphold these principles. Eligibility and citizen, provable chain of custody, provable oversight of the counting process, including, you know, video security, everything. We have to be able to see every step of this process, because right now there's so little trust in the system, and it's warranted, that lack of trust.
So, Marley, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I want you to finish your thought, and then I got another question.
Well, basically what the Supreme Court would end up ruling, if they agree with what we've demonstrated, and I think it's very hard to argue with, is that they just have to follow the law. Just like 1888, just like Coy said, if an election official varies from the law, that's intent. They have to follow the law. And I know you're not wild about Hava. I'm not wild about Hava either. But if they were following it, we wouldn't be dealing with these problems. And interestingly, the Help America Vote Act, because Obama made our election systems critical national infrastructure, actually the most stringent cybersecurity laws in our country now govern every aspect of those systems. And I don't know that it's possible for a state to come into compliance between now and November 2024, actually, because those laws would preclude their ability to meet a actual standard of legal compliance in time.
I agree with you. I don't think they can make it happen. But I'm not trying to diminish anybody's enthusiasm, and I still think that hand counting can make it happen by the general election this fall.
We could definitely do that by November, right?
Right. There's no doubt about it. So
I have two of them right here.
What I'm figuring, and they're easily trained. So what I'm hearing from you is that you spent a tremendous amount of time on the authenticity of the votes that are counted. I don't doubt, because we found a place in Lawrence. We didn't. There were a couple of young ladies canvassing Lawrence County, South Dakota. They found one address with 1,200 votes submitted. Obviously, that's a problem in a county that has 25,000 total people, not voters, people. And if you look at the data and you really study it, like so many people like Sean Smith, who just went through and looked at the data on the other side, and the algorithms have definitely been manipulated because the margin of winning is like identical for each demographic. And that doesn't happen with the demographic of my daughter's a 21 to 25 and me and my wife at 57. There's going to be some variation. And it's clear to me that the software systems, particularly the Microsoft Azure cloud, have been involved in altering this data through the algorithms. And yet you've spent all the time talking about the authenticity of the votes that are being counted into the system. Where do you put all of the transfer of information from that little jump drive that we take from the tabulator, put it in a laptop, put it on a cloud, and send it to Secretary of State? How much do you think the manipulation has occurred from the computer at the county clerk's office to the Secretary of State's office?
Actually, and you might want to, argue with me about this, but it actually doesn't matter, and I'll tell you why. United Sovereign Americans has constructed a set of arguments that are very simple to understand, and they demonstrate that the voting system is broken. The first question we ask in every state, were the voter rolls accurate, which is a requirement of federal law?
Mm-hmm. The second question, we're in complete agreement on that one, by the way.
Were the votes counted from qualified citizen voters? The third question, did the number of votes counted equal the number of voters who voted? And the fourth question, was the federal accuracy requirement honored and upheld? If those four questions, you get a no, you don't have a valid election. And it doesn't matter where in the process it's broken. What we've done is we've actually measured the accuracy. We've measured, if you buy a car, Trent, a brand new car, a nice one, shiny, and all of a sudden, as soon as you get that car, it's in the shop all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call that car?
A lemon.
A lemon. If you buy a voting system, and the only thing that voting system has to do is accurately and provably record votes from eligible citizen voters and produce an accurate and trustworthy result, and it can't do it, that voting system is a lemon. And I don't care where in the process it's broken. I don't care. Because what we need is a voting system that produces an accurate, transparent, trustworthy result.
Well, we haven't found anything to argue about yet, because that's 100% true. And if we could get access to the votes as they were submitted into the tabulation machine compared to what came back from the Secretary of State's office, we would answer a lot of questions. But as you previously stated, we can't get that.
That's part of the requirement of the system. And you see, that's a civil rights violation when they mm-hmm. refuse to be transparent. Again, if our right and our duty, frankly, to choose our representatives is enshrined in Article 1, Section 2 of our Constitution, you can't even write the rest of the Constitution without establishing that is the United States citizens who govern this country through choosing representatives. If that is not upheld, And we can't make sure it's being upheld. It's a civil rights abridgment at the heart of our meaning, at the heart of the meaning of our country. So when they say you can't look at this and you can't look at that, and it's okay for us to carry these thumb drives around in our pockets, and we don't need chain of custody from the polling site over to the central count system, they're just lying. And I don't care all the different places where it's broken. There's thousands of them. I don't care if it's Azure. I don't care if it's Dominion. I don't care if it's ESNS. I don't care if it's some crummy guy who just, you know, would punch you in the face if you demanded that he sign the chain of custody document. I don't care. The voting system is not working. And that is a crisis in governance for our country. And it's got to be addressed immediately. And United Sovereign Americans is prepared to bring this to court in state after state after state before 2024, because we can't lose our country.
I was just going to ask you, for those paying attention in any state, USA, what do you want them to do? Contact you, go to the website. What do you want them to do?
Our website is uniteforfreedom.com, unite4freedom.com. This is a completely volunteer organization. I'm a volunteer as a CEO. Harry's a volunteer as a chairman. Everybody's volunteering. And we have initiatives in many, many states, and more states added. We do citizen advocacy work. We do citizen education work. And we fundraise for litigation when we prepare data and evidence for litigation. And that's our mission. And we plan to achieve this adjudication process at the Supreme Court before 2024.
Marley, every single day, I thank veterans of this nation for their service to the freedom of future generations. I'm putting you in the same category. Thank you for your dutiful service to this nation to make sure the Constitution is upheld in the most important place possible, free and fair elections. And we will partner together to make it happen.
Thank you, Trent. That's very touching. I really appreciate it. And I must say, we have thousands and thousands of volunteers, and we can't do it. No one could do this alone. It takes all of us. It really does. So everyone who wants to have a role, you are welcome and invited. And if you don't have the opportunity to contribute your time right now, please contribute whatever you can afford to make sure that these lawsuits go forward.
Once again, if we do not have true and fair elections representing the will of the people, we have nothing. Thank you, Marley, and the entire team, United Sovereign Americans, setting the pace for what we all need to do as dutiful citizens. We've successfully journeyed down that path, connecting farm to fork. For Marley Hornick, I'm Trent Luce. Both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a roll route. Also, a shout out to the All-American Beef Battalion. Make your contribution or awareness at stakesfortroops.com.